You guys ready to rock and roll? All right. Me too. I'm really excited to preach to you today. I believe God's got a word for you. When Joe asked me to preach, I'm like, yeah, sure, man, of course. You know, I'd be honored. It's been a while since I've, you know, preached a message up here. And I was like, okay, God, well, what do you want to say? Ooh, a little bit. Here's my ID, officer. I swear I haven't drank at all. Only one. Just a little down. Just a little bit down, if we can. I mean, if that's possible. I really do feel like I'm getting arrested right now. Okay, focus. I have a lot to say and a little time to say it, so I'm talking to myself. Focus, Jonesy. Okay. So God told me to show you who you are. So I'm going to be preaching out of the book of Acts today, because the book of Acts is a biography about the birth of the church. In fact, it used to be called, you know, back in however many thousands of years ago, it was called the Acts of the Apostles. But as time went on and people, you know, read the scriptures and they were like, you know what, you can split Acts down the middle, right? It's Luke. Luke's the author. And the first half of Acts, he writes about the ministry of Peter. The second half of Acts, he writes about the ministry of Paul. So you could split the book down the middle like that. But there's one that is talked about more than Peter and Paul. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's mentioned 55 times in Acts. So, amen. So what that tells me and what that told everybody else is the book very well should be and could be called, I mean, it's Acts, and I would never take away from the Bible, but it could be called this, the Acts of the Holy Spirit through believers. It's what the book is all about. It's what the book is all about. It's what the birth of the church is all about. It's why Jesus did what he did. Okay, he walked with his disciples, right? He came to earth. He knew we were crumbing down here. And he came in an earth suit, and I want to do this quick, but he lived a sinless life. He gathered his disciples, and then he began to teach and heal people. And his disciples were, I mean, they had witnessed this. They literally walked with Jesus. And we'll pick on Peter today, you know, because he's easy to pick on. But Peter said things like, you know, when Jesus said, hey, you know what, I got to die. I got to go die. And then I'll be raised again on the third day. Jesus was like, no. Hey, man, Lord, hey, no, I'm on your team. I ain't letting nobody do nothing to you. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, stumbling block. You don't know what I know. You think with a human mind. I'm thinking with God's mind. And he gave the disciples limited power. Remember, he sent them off in twos. And they came back going, man, Jesus, it's pretty rad. We cast out demons in your name. And we healed the sick in your name. It was dope. It was killer. But still, see, Jesus, they didn't have what it takes to walk it out long distance. You see, we can all get fired up, and I'm going to be preaching good today, but that's going to wear off. I'm talking about longevity here, and I'm going to give you the answer to the whole sermon in the front of it. Nothing that I preach to you today can be done without the Spirit of God. Amen. Nothing that I preach today can be done unless you are filled with the Spirit of God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, because just like these disciples, we are no different. So let's get busy. Let me give you a little background. Luke was the author. He wrote this in about AD 63 or later. Luke was a Gentile physician and a missionary and a companion of Paul the Apostle. I told you it could be cut into two halves. And then it's mostly about the Holy Spirit. So let's go. In verse 1. Acts 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus. Let's just stop right there. You see, every time I've read this, I started going to school. I'm getting my theology degree. Amen. So I'm learning a few stuff now. You know, I'm going to be able to give you guys some more meat, praise God. Theophilus is not a dude named Theo. That's the way I read it. Oh, I wonder who Theo is. They never mention him again. It's really a Greek word. Theophilus is a Greek word meaning one who loves God. So it's a letter to you and to me personally. Hey, his place. This is how the church was built. I'm writing this to you so you know who you are. Good to know, amen? Makes it personal. It's like, oh, I love God. That's me. I'm Theo. So in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them, he raised from the dead, and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. You see, Luke picks up in Acts where he left off in his gospel. He left off in the ascension of Jesus, so he starts his book of Acts with the ascension of Jesus. The book of Acts is like the bridge that... Okay, so the Gospels are all about the teaching of Jesus, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all about Jesus and his teaching. Acts is the bridge, right? The birth of the church that connects all the Gospels to the rest of the New Testament that's just telling you why that's true. So that's kind of how you can look at the New Testament. It kind of, you know, it'll give you... Basically, it's the Gospels, it's the birth of the church, and all the other books are telling you why this is so freaking important and real for us to know, learn, live, and have it. Amen? Amen. So, as he said, Jesus was teaching with these guys. Now, here Jesus gives direction in verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, before Jesus split, it says he gave them a suggestion. Oh, wait. No, he didn't say that. It says he gave them this command. And when some of us may have a hard time with that word, especially if you've had problems with authority your whole life. But this, when it says command, it's an intentional, look, man, I ain't messing around. I got something for you, and you need to go to Jerusalem, and you need to wait until it comes, because you need this. You need this. You can't do what I want you to do without this. It's important for you to know that what I'm asking you to do, you can't do with human will. You can't do it on your best day with your best intentions. We can't even hold on to a diet. Much less walk out the things of God. Okay? Neither could they. Remember, Peter's the one that denied Jesus 3 times. Sitting by the fire. I don't know that dude. Psh, come on, man. I don't know Jesus. He peed on himself. When the rubber met the road, and I won't be any more risque than that, I promise. Babies pee. But I want to give you a picture. He was scared. He was all about you. He just told him, dude, I got you. I ain't letting nothing happen to you, Jesus. He really meant that. He did. He loved Jesus. But when the rubber met the road, He crumbed. He peed on himself. So would we. So would we. So he says, look, guys, I love you. I love you. I command you to go wait. Because their strength, their courage, and their wisdom would not be enough. Their good intentions weren't going to get the job done. And Jesus knew it. The church would need to explode with power. And no one understands the things of God but the Spirit of God. So Jesus knew our own solid connection with Him at all times would be necessary. So He sent the Holy Spirit. And then we pick it up in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated that came on to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They waited. They were obedient and they waited. God came in and with a mighty wind. See, the church is being birthed. You know, I want you to, because, you know, just for whoever's like, well, that stuff don't happen anymore. I want you to know that maybe none of us will physically see tongues of fire over any of our heads, but if you can't tell that I'm on fire right now, man, you are blind. I got fire in me, baby. I am on fire. Look at this. Boom! The church is built. The church is born. People are praying in tongues and other people are understanding them. Man, I'm from Italy and he's speaking in Italian, or I'm from Germany and I, whatever. People are from all over the place and they're saying, wow, their minds are blown. 3,000 people got saved that day. You see what I'm saying? God was like, fine, if the Jews are going to palm my face, then come here, Gentiles. Come here, all you guys that were tagged and bagged for no presence of God. Let me just pour out on you. And see, this was the proof. This was the proof, because the very guy that peed on himself, that denied Jesus, stands up and says, fellow Israelites. And see, the very people that killed Jesus are in the audience. And he calls them brothers. That's the power of God. That's seeing them with Jesus' eyes. He didn't have that before. And now he stands up and he goes, fellow Israelites, people are not drunk like you think they're drunk. No, this Jesus that you crucified has been raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and He has sent His Holy Spirit. And actually, He has fulfilled what the prophet Joel said in your Old Testament, that I will pour out my Spirit on sons and daughters. Women and men will prophesy. Young men will have visions, and old men will dream dreams. I pour out my Spirit on all flesh. You are witnessing this here now, guys. That's what Pete was saying to them. And they got, and many got saved. That's a powerful, powerful moment. But it's just the beginning. Good, we're good, doing good on time. I still got 30 minutes. Because now we're at where I want to be. Now, I want to put you guys on the road with Peter and John. This is right after Pentecost, and they're walking to the temple. Let's read it. Acts 3. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. See? Today's different, though. See, Peter and John, they've walked to the temple before. This isn't the first time they walked to church. They're walking to church again. But today, they're walking to church with intention. Today, they're probably like, dude, John, can you believe that yesterday? Oh my God, dude, that was trippy, bro. That was crazy. But I, you know, like, I feel different, man. I'm filled with like this desire to just go out and heal people and preach. I want to live intentionally today, John. How do you feel, Pete? Man, same. Today, when we walk to the temple, Pete, let's live intentionally. Today, when we walk to the temple, let's look for somebody we can bless. Today, when we walk to church, let's look how we can be a blessing. They were living with intention. Verse 2, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. So this guy is carried to church every day. Does it say every day? Yeah, every day. Where he was put every day. Okay, that means every day. He went to church every single day. And they just set him outside and you're supposed to come to church to, hey, I need help, man. I need help. You know? But that's what he did every single day. But today, Peter had something different from him. We pick it up in verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. There's something I want you to see here. That man laid in front of that temple every single day. And he just wanted the minimum, just to be taken care of. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to see the beautiful thing that Peter does for him. You see, Peter first says, he comes and engages. And he says, look at me. Look at me. I'm that same guy. I'm that same guy that was all jacked up. I'm that same guy that had all my dysfunction. I'm that same guy. Look at me. Jesus Christ has healed me. And I don't have any coins for you today, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. Get up and walk. You see, he got out of himself and he connected with this person. He connected with him. He got down into his life and said, look, I'm not going to give to you like everybody else gives to you. I'm not going to give you just enough to get by. I love you. And what I have been filled with is the Spirit of God. So now I have the authority to tell you that God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you. And I want to show you how. I'm going to help you. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. I'll walk with you. Get up and walk. It's like, get up and walk. If your marriage is tough right now, look for a good one. Look for people, to a couple that talk nice to each other, that treat each other with respect. Look to them and go, hey, I want to walk in that. I want to walk in victory. You see, there's a bunch of miracles sitting around you today. It's the most beautiful thing about being a Christian is that I can boast in my defects because I'm really jacked up. I mean, I think it's safe to say that, and I'm not like, I'm sicker than you, but I'm probably sicker than you. That's just, That's a good thing. But look at how good God is. You see what I'm saying? That's why you don't have to like be some version of a Christian that you're like, yuck, I can't do that. Cool. We don't want you to do that. Neither does God. God made you the way you are. And so, but what he does for us is when we get filled with the Spirit of God, He begins to heal us. He begins to heal us because when you're filled with the Spirit of God connects to the Word of God. The Spirit of God connects to His own Spirit through us. When you are filled with the Spirit, the Word makes sense all of a sudden. And that is how you stay filled. We do have a part in this. Because if you'll notice, I don't want to jump ahead. Hang on. Yeah. If you'll notice, so the man gave them his attention, expecting. He finally expected something. Because check this out. Okay. They brought me in, you know. They laid me down. I came to church, do my duty. Come, you know, just to come get what I need. But what? What? Is that Frank over there? He got healed? Oh, man, that's so good for Frank. Man, he needed that. He needed that. Jesus is healing people. Did you know there's 7 different scriptures that tell that Jesus was teaching and healing people at this very same temple? He was there every day, guys. Okay? And he's like, oh my gosh. What? Francine and Frank and Joe? Francine and Joe? That horrible marriage, man, they beat each other up. They threw things and... God, that was just drama. They're what? They're healed? They have an intimate relationship? Really? They're still married. Wow. That's really good for them. They deserve that. I'm really glad God healed them. Man, you know, I'm just too far gone. Like, I just, you know, whatever lie that I am holding on to. Jesus broke that lie through Peter that day. Because Peter wasn't going to give Jonesy what the world gave Jonesy. Okay? Peter wasn't even going to give Jonesy what the nice Christian people gave, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? He was in front of the church, so people are throwing him dough, and there's nothing wrong with that. But don't just come for the coins. We have so much more at this church than that. Jesus has so much more for you than just healing you guys. He wants to heal you, and He will heal you in Jesus' name. God gave me a vision of this church. And one of our major missions in life is to be available for God to heal your mind. Because this, it was what needs to be healed. You've been damaged by your past. You've been damaged by that relationship. You've been damaged by that stuff, addiction, and all that stuff. Yes, you've been damaged. Yes, it's very real. But it is not bigger than the God that I serve. Amen. Amen. Because I tell you this, I'm that guy. Look at me. I'm that guy. I'm that guy that shot so much speed that he almost died. I'm that guy that would run through your life and just leave you burning and not even care. I'm that guy that would steal your dope and help you look for it. I'm that guy that said, no, dude, I didn't sleep with your chick, but I did. I'm that guy. God has healed my mind in the name of Jesus. So I tell you today, whatever you are paralyzed from, I reach out my hand to you in the name of Jesus. And I tell you to stay here. Get up and walk with us. Get up and walk it out. Amen. Amen, amen. Somebody shout me down. You preach it, Jonesy. You preach it, baby. Check this out, though. The guy, why would he ask for coins? We get into each other's lives here because he who has been forgiven much loves much. The greatest thing, you know what the good news is? It's so, the more jacked up you are, the more grateful you're going to be that God saved you, baby. You know what I'm saying? Hey, this guy, I mean, he was jacked up. No wonder when he got up, when Pete got into his life and said, oh, I ain't going to leave you there. What I have to give you is life in Jesus, brother. Come up and walk. And he said, oh, all right. Because we only get a little snippet, right? But these people are just like us, so I get to finish the story. I'm not adding to, I'm just saying. He's walking, all right. I mean, who doesn't want to get victory from Jesus, right? Woo! Oh my God, look what he did. It's like, hey, now you can get a job. What? Yeah, buddy. Now you can work. Now you can do things that you haven't done and they're new to you. Remember, he's never lived a life of walking anything out. He's been paralyzed. This is new to him. It's scary. Trust me, the pink cloud went away after a while. I don't know how many days, but after a while, he's like, yeah, Jesus healed me. Cool. You know, what then? He's got to learn how to do relationships. Because now, I mean, he's not just paralyzed. I'm not saying that paralyzed people can't have relationships, please. I'm just saying he might be able to put himself out there a little bit more walking around. That's all I'm saying. Right? But he's got to learn how to do relationships now. He's got to learn how to keep a job. He's got to learn how to pay his bills. He's got to learn how to provide for himself because he's been taken. Take, 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 which is okay, guys. But here's the thing. We at this church, we are so cool with helping you out. But that's not where we want to stop. We are here. We have coins for you. We have food for you. I am so blessed that we are the second largest food bank in Orange County. Hallelujah. We fed over 20,000 families last year. We did. Our little church in Westminster, California fed over 20,000 families. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. It's amazing what he'll do with jacked up people. Do you see how powerful you are? And we get to wear our stuff as badges of honor. That means you get to be yourself. Oh, thank you, God. I tried to fake it, man. It's tiring. And it don't work. They find you out. The real you comes out, and it's just, you might as well just be yourself. Amen? Have you ever wondered why Christians, like on spirit-filled, on fire Christians, are so happy? It really is because we've been set free. But here's the thing that I want you to really get today. Because being healed by Jesus is important. But it ain't even the best part. The best part is when you get to be a blessing. That's the best part. It's the best part. Because why? Because I should be locked up in prison. I shouldn't be having healthy relationships with people. I'm selfish. I'm an egomaniac with an insecurity complex. Figure that one out. You know what I mean? Not anymore, baby. That man is dead, and he'll stay dead as long as I stay filled with the Spirit of God. But I'll tell you this, if I stop, that old Jonesy will rise out of the grave. I don't like that dude. Nobody else does either. You hear a lot of things, you know, once you get straight. Yeah, dude, you're a real a-hole, bro. Yeah, I know. We want you to stand on your own here. And it is my mission. It is my job. It is my dedication to you. I promise you, I will charge into the presence of God. I am going into a new season. I believe this church is going into a new season. We are about to explode. And it's all because, and it's not because of we got pyrotechnics and, you know, it's because God's going to heal you. And you're going to go, dude, God healed me. Well, where? At church. Well, where's your church? It's in Westminster on Chestnut. It's trippy, dude, but yeah. That's how people are going to come. I'm not putting nothing on it. I mean, this might be years in the making. See, here's the thing. We can all be, yeah! Woo! Being filled with the Spirit means you got to die to the flesh. So we're fired up today, baby. But let me just give you, because I'm gonna tell you the truth up here. I'm really going to try, at least. Dying to self is messy. It's painful. It's yucky. It's scary because you're trying a new way. Trying it God's way when you're trying it your way is scary. But I promise you that if you hold on to Jesus, if you keep coming to this church, if you get into the Word but on your own, and you begin to learn the nature of the God that you call Lord, and you learn His heart, you will begin to be set on fire. You cannot taste of God and not be. This power that I'm talking about it isn't just for the pastors. It isn't just for your leaders. It isn't just for so-and-so or this person. It's for you. He said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He said, my sons and my daughters, that's you. You are filled with the Spirit of God. If you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you are filled with the very same Spirit that Jesus was raised from the dead, that Jesus used to heal, that Jesus used to teach. Jesus had the mind of God. We are to have the mind of Christ. And it's not as far off as we might think. I want to pray this little Ephesians prayer over you before I close. It's Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That is my prayer for you. That is my prophecy over your life. You will be filled. You will hear His voice. I know some of you are like, man, I've never heard God. That's okay. Check it out. I'm pretty sure you need to shut out the noise. You need to shut out the world. Shut off the phone. Put social media down. Shut off the radio, the TV. You can, I mean, put on some worship if you want. But get intentional about getting with God. That's all I've done, guys. This week, I have struggled. I have sinned. And I've listened to punk rock and heavy metal. But I've had a healthy dose. A healthy connection with my God on the daily. That's what I've done. I do it on purpose, and He sets me on fire. There's no other math problem to it. I don't have some secret thing that I do in private that gets me more access to God than you. That don't happen. I just live intentionally for Him. So be filled with the Spirit, you guys. That's how we're going to do it. You want to stay sober? Be filled with the Spirit. Work your 12 steps. Get a sponsor. I'm not, dude, the program's rad. But don't just stop there. Get more. The very source that program came from is here today. The kingdom of God is here. And He wants you to have everything He died to give you. Everything. Meaning He wants you whole down here. Not just when you get there. He wants you whole in your brokenness. It's killer. Because I am broken. I do sin. Let me tell myself before I quit. Because I want you to know that this is what it looks like. What, Valentine's Day was Friday, right? My wife and I have been together for 20 years. I love her so much, and she loves me. If you know our testimony, you'd be clapping too. Woo! But it was Valentine's Day, and I even asked my wife, hey, you want to go do something? Nah, it's the amateur night. You know, we've been together for so long. Let's just chill at home. Cool. All right, I agree. 100%. Every day is Valentine's Day, honey. So I get a call from my daughter later that day. Hey, you know, Mom doesn't think you're going to get her anything for Valentine's Day, and she's crumbing a little bit. And I'm like, oh, well, the day's not over, is it? Click, you know? Or, you know, oh, yeah, of course I'm dying. Yeah, I'm going to get something. Yeah. But see, I, on the natch, Chris Jones is a selfish person. He is. And so I go through this little rigmarole in my truck because I'm on my way home or to the flower store. And I'm like, you know, she didn't get me anything. Is she really looking out for me? And the Holy Spirit was all, hey. Hey, man of God. You know how you talk on the phone to your guys and you tell them all this wisdom on what to do in relationships? Why don't you call yourself right now? So I'm totally convicted. And this is all out loud by myself in my truck, by the way. So yeah, God is good. I'm like, okay, well, Chris, what should I do? Go buy the stupid flowers and be loved, dummy. You know what I mean? You don't wait for somebody else to be loved. You're the thermostat, Jonesy. You're not a thermometer. When you walk into a room, you don't succumb to the energy in the room. You walk into the room and you set the tone. Because why? Because you're filled with the Spirit of God, son. Go buy the flowers and shut up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see what I mean? The struggle's real. I just want to share that with you because it's not like, oh, I've reached this place where I just, you know, everything comes easy to me. And walking with God's a simple thing, guys. I can't wait till you get it. You know what I mean? It's not like that. I have to choose. to walk in the Spirit. I have a choice. I could have just, and I have before, chosen the other way. Well, you can almost give somebody a present and go, here you go. You know what I mean? Like, ew, yuck. Or, you see what I mean? I submitted to God. That's all I did. Oh, you're right. You're right, God. I'm being selfish and self-centered right now. I'm not being anything that I preach about. I'm not being anything that you said that I could have. That's not love. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't give to receive. Love just gives to bless. And that's why I'm telling you, you don't want to miss the best part of being a Christian. The best part of being a Christian is being a blessing, man. It's walking in your healing and being a blessing to others. Amen? Yeah. But check this out. I don't want to leave this service without inviting everybody to have a relationship with Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today's the day, man. Everything that I've been talking about is yours. It's yours, but you have to be filled with the Spirit of God. I have to be filled with the Spirit of God. You can't do it without Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today is the day. I want you to raise your hand up. I want to pray with you. If you have given your life to Jesus before and you've backslidden and you want to just rededicate your heart, I want to give you that opportunity too, because I want you to surrender to Jesus today and be filled with His Spirit today. So if you've never given your life to Jesus or you backslid and you want to rededicate your heart, I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray with you. I see your hands. I see your hands. There's hands all over this church. Thank you for being brave. Thank you. Church, repeat after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your Son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I turn from my old ways of life and I turn to you. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. Now I ask you to fill me overflowing with your Holy Spirit and baptize me in your Spirit and fire. And I declare, today I'm saved, today I'm changed, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Go light somebody on fire this week.